Thanks, Daniel. If kids want to head out to Kids Church at this time, you can follow Miss Jessica out. All right. We are continuing our series that we kicked off last week, just simply entitled Renew. And this whole idea of renew is the fact that we get worn out, right? Like, especially over the last couple of years, it seems like things are getting worn out at a quicker pace than ever before. Like, we're tired, we're exhausted, and things that maybe didn't used to make us tired now make us tired, or things that we used to have energy for, we don't seem to have energy for anymore. But that's not what God wants. What God wants to do for us is continually to renew us. The problem comes, though, in our life, that we get a couple things confused. We believe that things should be replaced versus being renewed. And we talked about this last week, that the distinction is this. Physical things, material things can be replaced. Your shoes can be replaced. Your jeans can be replaced. Your car can be replaced. A broken picture can be replaced. Living things cannot be replaced. Living things are to be renewed. Because once they're dead, once they're gone, that's it. And so we are living, breathing things. We get the Spirit of God inside of us. We cannot be replaced, but we can be renewed. We see this in the book of Colossians chapter 3. The Bible says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and to become more like Him. This word renew, if you look it up, it means this. It means to make new, to give new strength, to refresh, to renovate, or to rejuvenate. Last week, we focused on two things, two areas of our life that God desires to renew. We talked about the renewal of our spirit and the renewal of our strength. This week, we're going to look at another part of our lives that God desires to renew within us that can't be replaced. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read this passage out of the Message, so it may sound a little different than what you're used to, but you'll get the gist of it. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17, says this. And so I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, the mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. They feel no pain. They let themselves go in sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. But that is no life for you. You learned Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to Him, been well instructed in the truth, precisely as you have found it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected to that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Just get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces His character in you. Let's pray. Lord, this morning we just come to you, we just ask God for renewal. We've walked in here worn out, exhausted, broken, tired, beat down. But God, that is not the life that you desire for us to live. God, you have called us to a renewal of our spirit, a renewal of our strength. And this morning, God, I pray a renewal of our mind. Lord, I pray all these things in your holy name. Amen. When you read Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is writing there to the church of Ephesus, and he uses a specific word there in chapter 4, and different translations have this word in it. The word is spirit, but the word actually translates in the Greek pneuma. Pneuma literally means, when they talk about pneuma in the New Testament, specifically in the Greek, what pneuma means is saying the breath of life, or the breath, the spirit of life that influences you. What you breathe into your life will dictate how you live your life. So as he's writing here in chapter 4, he's saying, look, the old is gone. The thing that you used to breathe in, this old breath, this old spirit, this old life has to be gone because God's spirit is within you. And this new spirit, this new life is about renewal. It's about making something new. It's about changing the atmosphere of your life and where you're headed. We understand, you know, based on certain things that are around us in our close proximity, there are certain times that certain smells or odors or whatever it may be, aromas, have a certain effect on us. What we breathe in sometimes changes how we react. Now, we have a lot of law enforcement officers here in our church, and I know that they've gone through training where there's been like pepper spray and things like that that they have to kind of understand, and maybe they've had to use it on folks. I mean, I don't know, but I know my first experience, I'll never forget it, with pepper spray. I was in college, and no, I wasn't in some type of like crazy riot where I got pepper sprayed. No, I just hung out with idiots, and a buddy of mine we were hanging out one day at lunch, and his girlfriend carried some pepper spray on her keychain, like a lot of girls do, and my buddy was like, hey, I wonder what this, you know, if this really works, what it smells like, whatever. So he just started spraying it. And the wind blew it back. I thought I was going to die, right? Like, that was my first, I couldn't breathe. It was like in my face. I mean, I hung out with morons, right? And so that was my first experience. But it's no different than if you're driving down, you know, the road, a highway, and all of a sudden you catch a whiff of something, and you know that smell. You're like, somebody done killed a skunk, right? I mean, you know it. It just infects your car, and it's in your car for miles. Or those of you who have had babies, right? You have infants. There's poopy diapers, and then there's poopy diapers, right? I mean, there's those blowouts that are like running down the leg. It's nasty, but it like takes your breath away, and you like can't even breathe. It's like it's there. So we understand. I mean, that's a concept that we get, that the atmosphere around us can affect how we react to life, right? We all agree with that. That is what Paul is talking about here. He's saying there's this pneuma, this spirit, the spirit of God that should come into the atmosphere of our lives, that we should breathe in, that should change the way that we react to the world. I used to have a phrase that I use with youth quite a bit, and I call it stinking thinking, right? That sometimes things happen around us, and it puts our mind in a mindset of just negativity. And I would have a youth, or maybe somebody, one of our teenagers would be complaining to me about something, and I'd just be like, look, stop the stinking thinking, right? Like, let's just get off of that train. We're not going to think about that right now. Like, why are we focusing on the negative? But that's what happens. We've all been there. We've all woke up and had those great days where life is going good, da-da-da-da, then all of a sudden something bad happens. All right, it's a little bump in the road. And then something else bad happens that day. And then something else. And all of a sudden, before we know it, our whole day is ruined, right? And we're just like, oh, this day was the worst day. I can't wait for this day to get over. And it's like all of a sudden, then all we notice are all the little negative things in life that day, right? Everything else that wasn't bothering us before all of a sudden is now bothering us. Why? Because we allowed that negativity, that thing that happened to us, to grab our attention just enough that all of a sudden it changed the atmosphere around us, that now all of a sudden, instead of breathing in the Spirit of God, this renewal, this freshness, this newness, we're breathing in this negativity. And everything changes. How we react to life is now different. Our mind gets affected by what we're allowing ourselves to take in, our intake, our spirit, our pneuma. It's our mind. Paul is saying here in Ephesians chapter 4 that, look, life's going to happen. Things are going to happen. This old way of life, the old things that used to get under your skin, the old things that used to bother you, your old temptations, all of these things are still going to be coming at you. Your mind is still going to be thinking on those things if you let it. But God is here to give you a new spirit, a new mind, a pneuma, something that can change the atmosphere and how you react to life. So why is that so hard? Why do we struggle with this pneuma? Why do we struggle with this spirit of God? Why do, you know, in our minds, we tell ourselves on one half of our mind, you know, no, I know I need to focus on Christ. I know I need to focus on God. I know I need to breathe in the things that is of God. But then the other half of our mind is all about the old. It's all about the things that used to distract us, or maybe still do, or current addictions, old addictions, negativity, all of those things. Why is that constant battle going on? you're going to hear Tim and I beat this drum all year long. It goes back to the very first thing we talked about at the beginning of 2022. We are at war. There is an enemy, and the enemy is real. And this enemy does not want our mind and our spirit to focus on this new, renewed spirit. This enemy wants us to focus on that which is old, because if he can hang us and hang our mind and get it connected to that which is old, connected to that which is negative, we are worthless and useless to the kingdom. So what influences our stinking thinking? Number one is Satan. We have an enemy. Think about the things that there's whispers that go on in your head, and I'm just going to share a few of mine. This is kind of the whispers I hear that start leading my mind down. Instead of having a mind that's renewed, instead I have a mind that gravitates toward negativity. I hear things like, just do it. Just go ahead and try it. God doesn't care. Everyone else is doing it. You deserve it. You're exactly right to think this way. It's not going to hurt anyone else. It's your life. Like, those are the things that get whispered into my head. Where do you think those things come from? They come from an enemy. An enemy that wants our mind to be captivated by those thoughts. The second thing that distracts us, the second thing that influences our stinking thinking is literally the world. You know, I use that term stinking thinking with my youth. I also use another term called garbage in, garbage out, right? What we put into our minds, what we put into what we watch, what we listen to, our intake, that is what's going to come out. We don't have this amazing filter system, right? I mean, it's not something that if it goes in, we can purify everything and all of a sudden purities are going to come out of our life. Our lives doesn't work that way. If we surround ourselves with negative people, we're going to be a negative person. If we surround ourselves watching or listening to a certain type of product, we're going to resemble and react and reflect that product. I had a friend one time, she told me, she's like, man, I just had to stop listening to rap music. And I know Joe Money, you're not like this, right? You're like a rated G, sometimes PG-13 rapper, right? But she said, she's like, I had to stop listening to rap music because of all the cussing. She was like, I would listen and I'd just find myself just cussing like crazy. So she was like, I had to stop listening because the stuff I was listening to was affecting the things that I was saying. That's garbage in, garbage out. That's it. So what affects our stinking thinking? It's an enemy that whispers in our ear, lies. It's a world, garbage in, garbage out. The thing that we're a part of is what's going to be soaked into who we are, and that's naturally going to come out. And the third thing is the flesh. Self-centeredness. Looking after number one. What contributes to stinking thinking just as much as the enemy in the world? It's me. What do I want? What I want is what I want, and I'm going to get it. And if I don't get it, what happens? I start throwing myself a pity party. I start getting mad at other people. I start judging other people. I start getting resentful. All of these things. I start having contempt for certain people. All of those things because my world revolves around me, not what God wants, not what my wife may want or my kids may want or what may be best for them, but it's about me. I influence my stinking thinking just as much as the enemy and the world does. So I can't blame it always on Satan. I can't blame it always what's coming through my television. Sometimes I have to blame it on the person that I'm looking in the mirror because I am allowing this to happen. So how do we change it? How do we change this idea of the stinking thinking? How do we get to a place where what we intake, what we breathe into our lungs, this pneuma, this new spirit, how do we get to a place where that is what changes our lives? That is what changes our reactions to things. Two things. The way we change our stinking thinking is this. Number one, we have to have Christ-centered thinking. Christ-centered. We see this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul's saying right there, he's saying, look, if you want to know, if you struggle, if you're struggling right now with what's God's will for my life, will you, if your mind is renewed, if your mind is on Christ, if your mind is Christ-centered, there's not going to be any doubt what God wants you to do, what his will is. Because you're just naturally going to know. Because we're waking up every day and we're just giving our bodies, as it says here, as a living sacrifice. Saying, God, you know what? My job is yours. My family's yours. My bank account's yours. Everything I have is yours. I'm just going to go live life the way you would have me to live it, God. And when we do that, we don't struggle with this, well, I don't know what God's will is for my life. We don't have to struggle. We don't have to worry with that if our mind is centered on Christ. That seems like a lot, though. That seems like, wow, you know, you're telling me, Mike, that like maybe 24-7, I got to be thinking about Jesus, and that's it. I can't think of anything else. Everything has to be Jesus, 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 Jesus. Not necessarily. Several years ago, Tim and I went to a conference, and it's the first time I'd ever heard this person speak. I never heard of this person before in my life. I've come now to appreciate her, to understand that this lady is world-renowned doctor, that she has written so many best-selling books, and her name is Carolyn Leaf. Do you remember that? Yeah. And we sat there. She wrote this incredible best-selling book called Switch On Your Brain. She says, and this is I don't know what you would call her, neuroscientist. I mean, she's brilliant. I mean, she's been on everything. I mean, she's all over the place. She's a Christian, but she writes from a science perspective, a doctor. I mean, it's amazing. So in her book, Switch On Your Brain, she discovered this. She says, I have found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain to such an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan. This is a neuroscientist found this out. If we pray 12 minutes a day, I'm not talking 12 hours, I'm not talking 24 hours, I'm not talking an hour straight. I'm talking if you pray 12 minutes a day for 8 weeks, it rewires our brains physically to the point that it shows up on a brain scan. Is that not incredible? That is amazing. And so you think about that and you go back to Romans 12, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul wasn't just making this up. That is literally transformation when you can change the way your brain responds, the way your brain physically looks on a scan. That is renewing. When was the last time you spent 12 minutes with God in a day? Just sat down and spent 12 minutes in prayer. Well, Mikey, I did it last Thursday. Okay, what about Friday? Well, Friday got a little busy. But I did 6 minutes on Saturday. All right, what about today? Right? Like, it's about consistency. Didn't we talk about this last week? The part of this being renewed in our spirit is about spiritual consistency. This is building on one another. If we want to be spiritually consistent, we have to be willing to dedicate ourselves to the renewing of our minds. And if we're going to renew our minds, can we not give God 12 minutes a day? 12 minutes a day in prayer. How will your life be different in 8 weeks? It's not going to be worse, right? You're not going to be like, wow, I just blew those 11 hours, you know, because that's how much it adds up to, right? Eight, I did all the math. It's crazy. 11 hours in 8 weeks is what you'll be praying. I don't think you're going to look back at the end of your life and be like, man, I wish I had those 11 hours back. Because most of you just wasted 11 hours yesterday on Facebook, all right, or Instagram or TikTok, right? We did that in one day. 12 minutes a day can rewire our brains for God. How do we get rid of stinking thinking? We have to have a Christ-centered thinking. 12 minutes a day changes our atmosphere. 12 minutes a day gives us a pneuma, a new spirit within us. The second thing is this, we have to have clear and positive thinking. Clear and positive thinking. Philippians 4 says this, 4:8-9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, the power of positive thinking, right? I mean, that's something that gets a bum rap. But it's biblical. It's right here, the writer is saying, look, don't focus on the negative. Don't dwell on the negative. This world has enough negative in it. Focus on things that are true, that are lovely, that are admirable, that are excellent, that are praiseworthy. Think about these things. And when you do, you will put them into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. If I was to ask you guys, you know, how many of you meditate? Probably not a whole lot of hands would go up. I don't know, man. Meditation kind of seems a little New Ages. I don't know if I really want to meditate or not. That sounds weird. Can we just call it prayer? Now, if I asked you, by show of hands, how many of you have spent time worrying this week? Probably every hand in here would go up. Let me tell you this. Worry is just negative meditation. That's it. Worry is just negative meditation. If we're sitting there obsessing about something, if we're obsessing about, am I going to get this job? Am I not going to get this job? Is this person going to get better or get healed? Are they not? You know, is this girl going to date me? Is this guy going to date me? Am I going to get married? Are we going to have kids? Am I going to be able to pay this bill? Whatever it may be, the things in our lives that we get so focused on that we worry about, you are meditating on that. Doesn't it make sense now when you read Ephesians? Paul is saying, look, if you're going to meditate, if you're going to think about something, why don't you think about something positive? Why don't you think about stuff that is true, stuff that is real, stuff that is praiseworthy, things that are excellent? Why are you so focused on the negative? This world has enough negative. Amen? Why is that what we focus on? It does nothing for our soul, nothing. Worrying adds nothing to our life. It only takes it away. If we want to get rid of this stinking thinking, if we want to change and have this new spirit within us, our mind has to be focused on Christ, and our mind has to be clear and positive on the things that Christ has laid out before us. Because when we think about the good, when we think about what is pure and holy and all of those things, we can't help but act that way. And when we act that way, we get the peace of God. I've never met one person ever in my life who said, I got peace from worrying. Have you? Man, I worried so much, I'm now at peace. I mean, if that was you, you can come do a TED talk on it next week, all right? Because I don't think that's real. But I have met people that said, you know what, Mike, I was struggling. I was hurting. I have anxiety. I have depression. I'm worried about this. I don't know where I should go to college. I don't know what job I should take. I don't know, you know, if I should move across the country and do what, I don't know. But you know what? I just prayed about it. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and I just have a peace now. I'm not saying God spoke to them through a burning bush. I'm not saying anything like that. But I'm saying if you want this peace in your life, this peace is not promised through worrying. This peace is not promised through negative thoughts and negative patterns in your life. This peace only comes, this peace of God only comes when Christ is the center of our thoughts, and what we're focused on is that which is pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. That's it. So why? We went over the what and the how. Now sell us, right? If I haven't already. Why renew our minds? Because stinking thinking will defeat your purpose in life. Thinking on the negative, thinking on the wrong, thinking on the old, it will always defeat your purpose in life. God has a purpose for you. And what you think on will either propel you to that purpose or prevent you from that purpose. That's it. The things of our minds, what our mind is focused on, is either going to propel us forward to the purpose that God has specifically for you, or it's going to prevent us from ever getting there. It's that simple. And stinking thinking destroys all the good that's around us. And it does this because all we focus on is the negative. And when all we focus on is the negative, we miss all the good. I don't know how many times, you know, I'll come home and Beth will be like, how was your day? Oh, it was terrible. Why? Well, and I'll bring up one thing, you know, whatever. I went to the grocery store and you had this on the list and it wasn't there. Okay, what else? That was just it. You know, and she's looking at me like, you're a moron, right? Like, you know, like what? Like, okay, the grocery store didn't have canned tuna and that ruined your day. But we do that, right? I mean, that sounds so silly, but that's what we do. It's like one hiccup, one bump. This world will have trouble, right? Jesus told us that. In this world, you will have trouble, but what? Take heart. I've overcome this world. Why are we so surprised when we have bumps in the road? Why are we so upset when we have flat tires and unexpected bills and we get sick or all those types of things? They don't have to derail our life. Why in the world should we care about renewing our minds? Because God has a purpose for us. And what our minds is focused on is either going to propel us or prevent us. And if we're focused on the negative, we will never see the good which God is doing in our lives. We do this as parents a lot. You know, I'll brag on Jacob. You know, I'll put Jacob on the spot right now. You know, it's easy for us as Beth and I as parents. You know, Jacob's 18. He's getting ready to graduate high school. He's getting ready to go off to college. You know, it's easy for us to still see him as like this little kid, right? But we have to keep reminding ourselves, he's a man now. Like he's a grown man. Like, if we were at war, he'd be all fighting, right? I mean, that's what I try to remind myself sometimes, right? I mean, this is a civil war, he'd be out of here. Like, but it does our heart good because sometimes, you know, he's 18, but there's still things where we're like, you know, Jacob, get up and go to school. You know, he's dragging in the mornings. Or Jacob, you know, why don't you refill the soap? Or Jacob, why don't you do the dishes? You know, it's like those little things. But then I have a conversation with Jacob, he's got a job at Kids Clubhouse right now. And Robert Vaughn, him and Sandra and Jill run the place and own it. Robert called me this week to specifically say, hey, I want to tell you what a great job Jacob's doing. He is such a polite young man. The kids love him. He is doing so good. He's such a great role model. We are so blessed to have him. And I just hung up and I was just like, I don't care if he ever does another dish. Actually, I do, son, but, you know. But in that moment, you know, but in that moment, it was... It felt good. You know, so often, you know, like I said, we get caught up. The whole point of that is we get caught up in the small negative stuff that we don't see the big picture of what God is doing. And we still get caught up, like I said, for us, it's kids, right? Whether it's Jacob, Josh, or Maria, we get so caught up in the little things they do wrong, not doing their chores or whatever. And that's what we harp about and yell about. Beth and I are screaming about. And we miss the big picture that God is turning them into amazing young men and women that we should be very proud of. And it's the same for you. Maybe it's not, you know, family specific. Maybe it's job specific or career or talent. You know, you get so frustrated over one little thing and all of a sudden it paints this whole cloudy, ugly picture when really it's not. It's just one little tiny thing. When you step back and look at the big, beautiful thing that God has done in your life, it's pretty amazing. Like, oh man, I can't believe I got to get a new water heater in my house. Step back and you're like, wow, 2 years ago, we didn't even have a house that we owned. We were renting. And now we have a place, you know? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's that stinking thinking. We have to be Christ-centered. We have to focus on the positives that God has given us. Why? Because it will derail your purpose in life and it will suck all the positive of what God is doing around you out. Amen? Renew our spirit, renew our strength, renew our mind. God is in the renewing business. He doesn't want to replace you. It doesn't matter how tired you are, how worn out you are, how broken you are. God's not about replacing you. God wants to renew you. He wants to renew your spirit, renew your strength, renew your mind, because you are his adopted son. You are his adopted daughter. You are a child of the Most High God. Amen? Thank God he's in the service of renewing and not replacing, or we'd all be gone, right? Let's pray. Lord, this morning I just ask for renewing, a renewing of our minds, Lord. If we came in here this morning focused on negative, if we came in here focused, listening to the whispers and the lies of the enemy, if we came in here this morning allowing the world to put garbage into our hearts and our souls and our minds, and garbage may be what's coming out. If we came in here this morning, Lord, let's just be honest, self-centered, all about us. If we're the reason that we've been having some stinking thinking, Lord, then you get rid of that this morning. Silence the enemy. Put a filter over our eyes and our ears for this world. And when we look in the mirror, Lord, let our only desire is to see you and not us. Lord, this morning I pray the prayer of Romans, that we offer ourselves as living sacrifices so that you can transform us by the renewing of our minds. So we can walk out of these doors, Lord, and we can focus on the things that are true, that are pure, that are holy, that are excellent, that are praiseworthy. Lord, if there's any of us that have had our purpose, our future derailed by negative thoughts of the mind, Lord, I pray you destroy all of that this morning. Destroy those strongholds. Propel us forward with your spirit, your pneuma. Lord, do not allow the atmosphere around us, Lord, to influence us, but allow us to influence it. Let us breathe you in, the breath of life, so that we exhale the image of Christ. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.